Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Kate Loving Chank, otherwise known as Moo, and you have reached the Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. And this evening we will be discussing anything that comes up, but we're especially interested in this evening in talking about how we can access all kinds of different ways to feel good in the present moment. And with that, I would like to get the other component of this show, Moonvine, on the show. She's here now. Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Thank
Hello,
you.
Joan. Nice
How
to hear
you?
Your voice.
Thank you.
Great.
Nice to hear your voice. I am having trouble getting the show to come on the computer for some reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Wonder if others are having the same issue.
I personally am having a hard time with the chat. However, I'm going to try it on this other computer, but let's see if I can do it. So you're having a hard time even getting on it.
Right. May have it now. Let's see
Good
if I finally
you.
Got it. See if I found the chat. I can't, let's see. Yes, I have the show. So that's
Wonderful.
Good.
Yes.
Yes. Progress now, but the chat is not showing, Kate.
No, it isn't for me as well. It just says connecting. So we might be having a little bit of a technological blitz this evening. But perhaps it will straighten out as time goes on, right?
I hope. And you don't have anything there that will click to turn on the chat, right?
Yeah, so there's a big white screen that is this connecting thing, but there's nothing really connecting.
Oh, okay. Mine is connected, so.
Oh, cool.
For whatever reason, we are on the air and trying to figure out what we're doing, and I appreciate everybody's patience. I wish the chat room would work, but it is not working for whatever reasons.
Is it working? It is working for you, or it is not?
No, it is not. I do not see
okay.
the chat at all.
Okay.
I can hear the show, but the chat is not working. Maybe if Carol is listening, she'll call in and tell us how to turn it on, but I do not see it.
Okay. Well, let me just tell our listeners that if they would like to talk with us, the best way to do it this evening is to dial in 347. It is 205-9200. That's the call-in number, the dial-in number, and we would love to hear from you. We are presently having a technological glitch, but we are hoping that straightens out momentarily. But we are excited to talk about ways that we can overcome adversity, basically, and mostly in the way we think about things. Wouldn't you say, Jen?
Absolutely, and it's, you know, it all gets down to attitude, I guess. But we all get into those days when we get up on the wrong side of the bed and we have a worry on our minds or something and we can't seem to get it stopped. And so we're going to be talking tonight about different ways that you can do that. And you and I were talking earlier today. I rediscovered a book today called Pocket Full of Miracles. If you have ever tried that, you need to. It's written by Joan, and I think it's pronounced Borisenko.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah. I know him.
You know who
oh,
I'm talking
Joan.
About?
Yeah. Joan
yeah.
Borisenko? Yes.
Right.
Yes, yes.
It's prayers and meditations and affirmations that nurture your spirit every day of the year. And I've had it for years and keep it right beside my little meditation chair. And today, for some reason, it popped out at me. So somebody on the call needs to hear this.
Tell us.
It's just a very short thought for every day and kind of gets you started on the right foot. I often also use Upper Room. I have used Upper Room in the past. And Daily Word is very good. It's put out by Unity. But any kind of daily reader, I think, is helpful just to get you started on the right direction anyway as the day goes on. The other one I wanted to mention before we move on is Simple Abundance. And I've done Simple Abundance 2 or 3 different years. But again, it's more housewifey than most, and I'm the least domestic person you know, but it is always positive. One of the things she recommends is a gratitude journal, and I've stuck with that for many, many years of writing down things that I'm thankful for every day. So all of that just for thought, food for thought, and of course, don't know if Carol is on the call, but by all means, subscribe to Carol Wingert's Daily Mantra, because that is so helpful. It's always a pleasant thought. And
absolutely.
Yeah, today it was on being thankful for somebody, I believe, is the way it was. And but it's always something quick to think about, something to do, and keeps you focused on a positive thought for the day. If you cannot find that, do write me a note or contact. I know what I can do. I can put it in the comment section. I had every intention of putting that in the chat.
I have the chat up now, Joan. What is the actual URL of that site, the mantra, the daily mantra?
I believe it's carolwingert.com, but I'm going to double check.
Okay. And what I did to get the chat up, just for your information, Joan, is I just got out of all the tabs, and the chat popped up. But I have two computers.
Really?
I do have two computers, so that I have an eye on the switchboard just in case somebody does call in as well.
So is the chat live then? I mean, are there people in the chat room?
Nobody's in the chat room at the moment. Oh,
okay.
There's a guest there. Welcome, guest 2610. You have reached Moon, Moo, and you, the collective wisdom, and we're glad that you are here. So you can chat away, and I'll try and see what you're saying. But and I want to say to our guests that we are discussing ways to lift our spirits. Joan wrote a book with her sister that is called Vanish the Blogs, and I guess that would be another way of saying it, how we can banish the blahs and be happy. What is the full title of your book, Joan?
Right. It's Banish the Blahs and Be Happy.
Great. And happiness would be another category we can discuss here, because this morning, just to tell a story, I went to the coffee shop with my husband where we meet with kindred souls, and there's a gentleman there who, he is in his 70s, and it was so much fun. He's a free thinker, and it was fun to talk with him, and he's trying to convince me, Joan, to take our show to a coffee shop at the end of the month but we'll figure out the logistics of that.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, we'll figure it out. And Karen Kay is on the phone. Yay, Karen, welcome. So I just want to say that at the end of the little coffee clutch, as it were, somebody said, well, I'm only happy when I'm productive.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, and I actually said out loud to everybody there, there are no conditions placed on happiness, or there are no conditions placed on feeling good. And I think that that basically says it all, or at least says a little bit.
Absolutely.
About things.
Absolutely. Happiness is a state of mind, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it doesn't matter. You can be happy anywhere, anytime, depending on your mindset. And there are times when I have a very difficult time with that, but it is absolute truth. And we know that
it is.
Even studying people who were in concentration camps during World War II, and there are people who were very definitely focused on keeping themselves positive and spiritually sound during that time, who survived those horrible days.
Yes.
With their minds intact, which amazes me anyway. But
yeah,
Kate,
I cannot
find the chat, but Carol Wingert's mantra is http://todaysmantra.com.
Oh,
you say
okay.
Mantra or mantra?
TODAYSMANTRA.com,
and it'll just be a real short little email that comes if you sign up for that, and you'll be glad you have it.
I just want to, so it's www.todaysmantra.com.
Right.
Wonderful.
Mantra.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm not mantra. Saying that word correctly. Yeah.
I don't think I put it up there correctly, but I think that we got the gist of it. Thank you, Carol, for your contributions with your daily mantra. That is very important because her whole idea seems to be that every day we can concentrate on a different sort of concept to actually focus. We have to focus in order to live optimally. You know, to open up our lives to what it is that we can accomplish.
Right. And oftentimes, you know, by the time I get in here and check the email, and my head is already spinning with 1,000 things to do and a list, and then I see that, and it kind of gets me grounded again. Like, slow down, Joan. You know, let's, you know, remember the priorities and you know, whatever it is, I always try to follow through. If it's, you know, like today's be thankful or write a note or whatever she suggests that you do. It's never anything very involved, but just a little thought. And I enjoy that. She does a beautiful
job
with that.
Yes, it is. Joan, did you ever do the Course in Miracles?
Have not. I had studied parts of it through a Unity group. And, in fact, some of that pocket full of miracles comes from the
Course in Miracles.
Course in Miracles,
yes. Say that, yes.
Yeah, and I've read pieces of it, but I have never done that complete study. I don't want to do that alone. I have a friend that did it alone, and she loved it. But I really think I need to be in a study group to do that. It's very difficult. Not difficult's not the word. Very thought provoking.
Course,
I understand. And,
it is. I did it. I started in probably 1980, and probably did it for a full decade. And every now and then, and I did it for alone for the first many years. But then I found a friend of mine, and we did it together. We would, you know how you have those neat little clock watches where you can set it hourly, beep, 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 which annoys everybody. But anyway, you set your clock every hour, and then when it beeps, it is to remind you to do the lesson for the day. And then, of course, every lesson has a different instruction, but maybe for the first 15 or so, it is a way to disassociate yourself from the way that you always see things. For instance, what I see means, there's like one lesson in the first 15 to say, what I see doesn't mean anything at all. And then you say that to yourself, you know, every now and then throughout the day. And then there's another lesson that says something similar but from a different point of view. So that by the end of the 15 days, you are, then they start getting into more just interesting, enlightening ways of having to do with God, the God concept. They don't, it's seeing God more like a masculine being, but you have to overlook the language. And I think when people first get into it or first read it, they get very annoyed by the language because it is very masculine, God kind of concept. But then it's really not important how that is. It's not important that God, the way you name it means nothing. It's the way you get to see it, the more you do it. And then you branch out from there, and it really, that was the first time I ever saw the concept that happiness is not dependent on anything outside of myself.
Right.
And that was an aha, beautiful thought, a beautiful realization. Nothing outside of myself can make me happy or unhappy, and I can't say that I always remember, but I almost always remember. And I think it was really the Course in Miracles that did it.
I think women especially, and I know we probably have male callers, and I appreciate you, but women especially have that problem. We think we're going to grow up, get married, and marry somebody who's going to, quote, unquote, make us happy. And the be happy has to come from inside of us. And it's not dependent on another human being. We have a job to do to be happy.
Absolutely. But don't forget, too, I think women tend to think that it's our responsibility to make other people happy.
Yes.
Especially men.
Except ourselves.
Except ourselves. Now, on the other hand, you and I come from another generation. And the younger women today don't have that concept of that they are necessarily having to make a man happy. Which
right.
I'm very happy for them that mm-hmm. they don't have to deal with that.
Well, I think they look less to that man to make them happy. I think we've evolved as women a little bit with that. You know, I know that my daughter and daughter-in-law have lives of their own, you know. I was probably, 25, 26 years old, been married 5 or 6 years and had a new baby. And this lady, older lady, said to me one day, she said, you know, Joan, you have become a lean. That was her term, L-E-A-N.
Oh.
I said, I don't know what you mean. And she said, you're depending too much on Whitey to make you happy, and you need to find ways to make you happy. I had never had that thought in my life.
Oh, isn't that great? Wow, the light bulb went off.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, golly. I hadn't thought about that. I'm busy playing wife and mother, It hadn't occurred to me to do anything to make me happier.
Right.
You know? But she was watching us. We were visiting her home one afternoon, and she was watching Whitey and I with the baby and all of that, and she did not know me that well. She recognized something of herself in me, or I don't think she would have said it. Or maybe
absolutely,
her children, because it was a powerful thing to say. It's something I don't think I would have the courage to say. I'm glad she did.
Well, I think you hit on something very important, and that is that she saw herself in you and Whitey, and that was why, and at some point she came to the realization of what she told you. I think she I think she knew that you were would be receptive to it, and that you wouldn't turn her off.
I'm amazed that I was. I was such a stubborn young woman. I'm really surprised that I listened to her, but I did. You know, I think along in there, and that was the 60s. You know, things were different, but. I think we were learning to think for ourselves a little bit, and I really worked on that. that strong. I thought my job was to take care of my baby and keep my husband happy, and he would make me happy, and all is well with the world. And, you know, it never occurred to me to have a life of my own.
Yes.
That was probably the first time that ever really clicked for me. So,
I love
anyway,
it when that happens.
Yeah,
isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's really neat. The other thing, did Kate come on the line? I mean, not Kate, KK. Is KK on?
KK is in the chat room, and right now that I walked away from the computer just for a second, and I'm hoping that your sister doesn't get on in the moment that I've done that. But we have another guest there, and I'm not recognizing the name, and I would spell it for you, but like I said, I just walked away.
It's Medicine Walker. That's someone new. I can see the listeners. I cannot see the chat room. I'm so sorry.
Well,
I wish I could. Yeah. It's someone called Medicine Walker.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Yes, that's
welcome.
New
we're so happy that you are here. Very happy that you are here. I love the name. Beautiful.
I do too. Isn't that cool? Yes, I do too. I'm going to jump away just a minute because it's to do talk about, because I'm hoping too that Betty Rush is going to get on in a minute, but it's to talk a little bit about affirmations. And it doesn't matter, again, what your religious beliefs are or whatever. You can choose affirmations that suit your own system. The one that I use the most often is all is well and all is well and all is well. In fact, it scrolls across my computer as a screensaver. But to choose an affirmation that suits where you are that day, and write that down at least 10 times a day. I have done that through so many jobs that were difficult, where I just kept a little notebook off to the side and continued to write affirmations every hour on the hour. Because eventually your subconscious mind gets it if you do it often enough. Do them aloud in the car. Yeah.
Writing it out is good, yeah.
Writing it out is
good. Yeah.
Yeah, every time you add another sense to it, it helps. So hearing it, seeing it, writing it, all of those things will help get those thoughts into your mind and keep you from being bogged down. Again, as a matter of trying to stay, for me, spiritually centered, so that I know what my priorities are for the day and whether or not that column of figures works out exactly right, that a job is not nearly as important as other things I have to do for the day. So don't misunderstand that. I took all of my jobs very seriously, but you know what I'm saying there, I think.
I do. And let me ask you a quick question. Do you think your sister's name on the chat might be M-S-H-O-M-E-E-C?
Yes, that's Miss Homeck.
Okay.
Miss Homeck is... So she is in the chat. That's wonderful.
She is. She says she will call shortly, and
very
then I
good.
Cannot read. Can't read the rest there. But
okay.
KK says to tell you to try refreshing or opening in another window. Which I think you did.
I've tried another window, but I'm going to try
now,
it again.
Yeah, try it again. The listener dial-in number is 347. 205-9200. And remember, there are no conditions to feeling good. Okay. Your sister is here. I'm going the 706 number. I am going to bring her on. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Betty Rush. How
Hello.
Are you?
I am glad you are here.
I am here, and I was listening and typing. I finally got on, Joan. You would laugh. Kate Joan just has to guide me one step at a time through all this computer business. I'm getting a feedback.
Turn
I'm going to cut
turn
the
volume
your down and listen
yeah,
to you all on the phone.
Yeah, turn it off, right.
I was just listening to your affirmations and couldn't help but think how my day begins so early, and I begin my day by looking at something I have taped to the wall or to the door here in my computer room, which is something wonderful is going to happen to me today. Mm-hmm. And my day is filled with anticipation to look for those things that are special. And they always bring joy and very spiritual connection with all of it. So have you ever done that? Joan and I do it, Kate, daily,
yes.
Really.
And I'm thinking that if you look for the lessons in everything, and then everything becomes wonderful, no matter even if it's a challenge.
That's
because
true.
You're looking for the lessons, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Or like a lot of days, and I'll get tickled. Betty will say, you know, I had the cutest little rabbit I've been seeing every morning. Or it might be a flower, or it might be a big smile from somebody.
Yes.
You know, you don't know where that something wonderful is coming in, and the thing is to be aware of them. And by the way, KK, you were absolutely right. I am trying now to click on chat, but you were correct, and I thank you. But yes,
you
Betty Rush, tell some of your
yes,
aspects.
Yes, please tell us.
It's just, I think one of my favorite things, because I leave before sun up to go to work, Kate, which you understand.
Yeah, I have done that in the past.
Oh, yes. And the full moon, or even a sliver of a moon, can start my day with a smile. And
absolutely.
Then, before Christmas, I opened my door, and there was the most beautiful silver box, colored box, with big bow, and it said, open now. So here I am, ready to walk out the door, bundled up, and going to work. And there was a treasure of a Christmas ornament that related to my trip earlier to Japan earlier this year. And I still, to this day, don't know who left that beautiful gift. But, I mean, can you imagine just starting my day with that joy? Someone had thought of me, had done this special thing. Recently, I was driving to a neighbor's and looked up. Well, I heard a flutter and looked up, and right above me was a huge owl on a limb hanging down almost over my car. And I don't see owls close. But I stopped right under him, and he and I sat there for a minute or two, glaring at each other and trying to decide, you know, who was queen of that turf, I guess. But things like that, it compliment. Yesterday, a volunteer brought me a nice little dish from a recipe from our cookbook, the Tate cookbook, that she had tried, and she wanted me to taste hers, and I just, not only did I enjoy the surprise, but I anticipated until lunch and enjoyed it so much. And then when I got home, an old friend of my son's dropped by, he was in that area and lives out of state, and I haven't seen him in several years, and it was true joy to visit with him. And I think part of it, as Joan and I have talked about, not only do she and I talk about these little things, but is giving them back, that part of it is to try to do for someone else these little surprises or...
to be somebody else is something wonderful.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it spreads.
It really does.
It's contagious, isn't it? It's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Telling the story, you know, someone stopped me the other day and was just passing a compliment, which was lovely, but it gave me an opportunity to tell them. I said, this is my something wonderful today. And then they looked at me, and I went on to explain what it was about. So it's not only enjoying, but being able to pass the story on. And it makes them aware, hopefully, that they will look for their, you know, their little surprises, their special blessings all throughout the day. We just got on a no smoking campus, Kate, and when we would go, and I do smoke, and when we would, I would go up and smoke, and some days I'd visit with people, and some days I would just be there by myself and have the moments of solitude, and it may have been a bird song, you know, just, or clouds, or whatever, a nature moment that somehow gave me peace, and I could go back and try to make a difference in the day, and but that I've had captured that moment to carry through the rest of the day, really.
It has to do with living in that moment, too, that capturing the present moment.
Right.
Thing.
I do believe that that would be part of one of the ways you can lift your spirits is to purposely bring yourself into the present moment, and then you can see and be more aware of these things that you're
talking
about.
Absolutely. I agree. But it's just a lot of fun, and Joan and I mention it, I guess, every night, Joan, don't we?
Close
whenever
to
we're on Instant Messenger.
But we call it SWs, and when I first was talking to Kate about it, I said, well, we'll get Betty to talk about SW, and she said, what in the world, SW?
You know, talk about it, but maybe... What is it?
Oh, but, you know, I mean, we end our messages with love and SWs, so it's fun to, you know, to share them, and I wish I'd been writing them down, because...
I do, too. From the beginning, because this has gone on for months now, and I wish we had kept a list.
If you think about when you were talking about concentration camps or moments of happiness, I would suspect that it was something like that that they would have to look for, Joan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, well, haven't you read the stories about, and you've done this too, but the man I know who watched the spider build the web.
Exactly. And
when he was in the concentration camp, and we've all read those stories. And, yeah, you would keep yourself alive with any kind of little, I call them games, but little activities that you can do that would keep you going. I mean, our urge to survive, our, what's the word I want, will to survive, would cause you to, in that situation, or in any situation, I guess, come up with whatever it takes. You know, if it's looking for SWs, then that works, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. And if you are in a life-and-death situation like that and you can do it then
wow.
Obviously this is it's a wonderful, wonderful exercise. I'm trying to think of the name of that book that you all are referring to, where gentleman is a psychiatrist, I believe, and
the spider web.
I
can't think of his name right now, and I apologize.
I apologize.
Should be there, but it's not. So.
All right, I'm going to get off the phone and back to the chat room, but I just had to talk about SWs a little bit. So
we
appreciate
it
so much. And thank you.
I wish you both many SWs.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
You too, my dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Kate, for what it's worth, I still, although I have a chat button, I cannot get in the chat room for whatever reason. So, just real interesting, but the reload did help, and I appreciate KK for that.
She's back. Hello, KK. Let me just say, the listener dial-in number is 347-205-9200. And, Joan, I wanted to say that this SW would be possibly a better exercise to implement in the workplace than, say, the complaint-free world, because people don't like, there's something about telling people that they can't complain, which is another rule. It's
right.
Another rule, and we're
the
in
negative.
A very, yeah, and we're in a rule-infested place. The workplace is rule infestation. So, but the whole idea of saying things that are wonderful and, oh, this was just so, this is a great thing that happened, and look at the beautiful, beatific, I love this patient, and this is why, and everything is so precious about this or that. I think that would be an easier thing to implement, at least in my workplace, than the complaint-free world. I love the complaint-free world because when you haven't complained for 21 days, you do feel so much better. But
you did make that 21 days, didn't you? I've never made the 21 days.
I made it, but I can't say that I kept it up because sometimes I keep it up pretty well. But when you walk into negative environments, maybe that's something we can talk about too, is how to keep yourself up in the negative environments that sometimes we have to walk into. And not to say that I'm better than anybody else, but I think it would be, I would be more helpful to not just myself but to everybody else if I could keep a very high enlightened place to from which to operate. So yay, you found the chat room. Cool.
I did. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that is wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Something wonderful.
Something wonderful just happened. You know what I did? I had to come just so we know. I had to totally close out Firefox and come back in. So it was a space issue, I guess.
Yes, yes.
So
go ahead.
I want you to talk a little bit about the book you're reading. It's half of the time's gone. Tell us about that.
On I was able to get Kindle on my iPhone, which is just a device to read ebooks on.
Ah, wonderful.
And I downloaded an ebook from Amazon directly onto this little Kindle, and it's about happiness. The title of the book eludes me, and I'm afraid to get into my iPhone because I'm using – well, I can because I am using it. Hang on just a minute, everybody. I should be able to just – yeah, this iPhone is just remarkable. So hang on just a minute. It's about this woman who decided that happiness did not depend on anything outside of herself, and she learned – it's called Happy for No Reason. Happy for No Reason. And the way she learned the lesson was she learned the lesson by going up into the Himalaya Mountains. And she went with a group of people to work in one of those wonderful programs where you deliver medicines and so forth to what we would consider to be people who are less fortunate than ourselves. When she gets there, she realized that perhaps she was less fortunate than they were, even though they had nothing, and because they were just totally happy. They had an easiness about the way they communicated with each other, and they were lots of laughter. And lots of camaraderie. 24/7. It was a tremendously sustained sense of happiness that these people had amongst each other and amongst the people that arrived to take care of them supposedly. But in the end, everybody was taken care of. In fact, maybe these people had more to teach the Westerners who came with their 90-pound suitcases and all the baggage of the past, and because these people were living in the present moment, and they were very, very highly spiritual.
And where were they?
They were
back.
Up in the Himalayan. Yeah.
There are islands, and I'm here again. Can't remember, but there's a set of islands that they say are that way, and the spirit of the islands is such. Because it's a poor island, but they are connected with each other and happy where they are.
Yes. Yes. And she brought that lesson back with her and never forgot it. And the book goes into great detail, which I will bring it. I think there is another day of happiness sometime in July. And so what we can do is maybe bring happiness people to talk about our collective wisdom surrounding happiness And that around the time of that Day of Happiness again. I think it is in July, July 10th or something like that.
Oh, that's good. I did not know that. So.
This book is a good springing board. Like I said, she, in the future of the book, which I haven't gotten to, she talks about setting a point in your, you have a happiness barometer that you can keep it at a set point. That's what it is. And you can, she'll teach you how to do it. So we don't have to wait till July. I'll talk about that next week. I think it's a great concept.
Oh, good. Yeah, because it
sounds
wonderful.
And I see that KK feels like she's being accused of being Pollyanna-ish, and probably the people that she goes to work with or something. And, yeah, that's...
Now, what she was responding to the fact that she loves the sound of music, you know, the little song where the girl, she sings, "I Must Have Done Something Good."
Oh, I love that, too.
I love that, too. I mean, if we're Pollyanna-ish, we just are, you know?
And isn't that a lovely story? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Pollyanna.
KK needs to know the author's name of your book. You know?
Okay. Yeah, let me get it.
She's saying she thinks she may have seen her talk online. She'd be a nice
guest. Well, she actually was in The Secret. She was in The Secret. So, Happy for No Reason. Okay, hang on, gang. It's apparently she was the Chicken Soup for the Soul book was the first book that ever came out of the Chicken Soup series.
Marcy Shimnoff.
That's it. Thank you. And she went to a spiritual retreat where you had to be silent for 4 days, and somewhere in the middle of it she got this flash of intuition that she wanted to contribute to the next book called Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. And then that's how she started to do all this public speaking, and she'd go all over the world and talk about, you know, different mind things, but she really wasn't happy. And then after that, she went to the Himalayan mountains and learned a few lessons from the spiritual side of the planet.
I've never done 3 days in the silence. I did one full day one time.
Yeah.
With a unity group. That is a powerful thing to do. Just sitting. I mean, there were about 7 of us. And we were on the church grounds. We could walk in and out, you know, use the restrooms or get a snack or whatever. But not one word was to be spoken all day. And this ran from like 8 in the morning till 8 at night.
Yes.
And it is very difficult and extremely interesting, because after the first couple of hours, your mind kind of settles down. And you are totally focused. You talk about seeing trees for the first time. Oh, man. You know, you are really connected to nature almost. It's reminded me of why the Indians have such a worshipful attitude toward the things in nature. Because if you're that silent for that long and you stop all the chatter, and all the mind chatter stops, that's where you go.
Right. And for the first time in your life, you can see that half the stuff that people talk about, or even the stuff that I say, is really not worth saying.
Right. And how much of our time we spend doing that stuff, chitter chatter stuff. I'm not saying the relationship stuff isn't important. I think there's a balance there. We need people. But I think we also need to take more time in the silence. Did you see, and I think I emailed about it too, but where our grandson told me that after lunch at his school, they have time to be.
Isn't that great?
And I said, what does that mean, Zach? And he said, well, it means we take a little nap. But basically, it is teaching a child the balance between doing and being, which is the essence of our humanity anyway. You know?
Oh, yes.
I love the phrase, time to be.
I know. He's learned it so early. It's beautiful.
Oh, at 5 years old. And the phrase will stay with him, you know?
Yes.
He may forget most of it, but he won't lose that phrase. And the how we are such doers as a society that we forget to be.
Absolutely, Joan. Absolutely.
Yeah. To sit. And sitting in the silence is that. Meditating is that. But just taking time to be.
And
it's back to the present moment.
Yeah. Let me,
beautiful.
If anybody is joining us or listening in, I just want to tell you that the listener dial-in number is 347-205-9200, and you have reached Moon, Moo, and You, the collective wisdom. Yes, another thing is starting the day with meditation, because if you don't, or if I don't, I should say, I feel that I'm not quite living on a higher plane as I want to live. And I feel more purposeful if I meditate. And do the morning pages, too.
Yeah. And see, I go through phases with all of that. You know, I seem to do real well, and then I back off, and then I have to get back into it again. Whether I'm doing the writing or writing my prayers or a certain devotion system or whatever I'm doing, and I seem to do real well with it for several weeks, and then I get off of it, and then I have to find my way back again. I don't know how you ever get so you do that on a consistent basis. I'm just thankful for the times that I do.
Well, you know? And then when you don't do it, it helps you for a period of time, and then you notice that you need to do it again.
Yes.
And you just do it. So, I mean, it's just the ebb and the flow of life.
Right. Right. And you pull to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The oceanic kind of rhythm.
I like that. I like that. But that's true.
It is.
We are drawn to the things we are supposed to be doing, no doubt.
Yes.
I noticed 2020 is listening. I'd love to hear what he has to say about the silence. And they're not in the chat room, but they are listening. He and Carol both are.
It is fascinating to think about. Here we are talking for an hour, and that's what 2020 does on his programs. And you have to think, well, are we just talking too much?
No. I think it's a balance issue. I got that much Presbyterian in my soul. It's all about balance. And we do need to communicate, and we do need to, and we need each other. And all of this is important. We're learning as we go and learning from each other. But at the same time, the idea, and I'm going to listen to his next show. Maybe he'll talk about it a little bit. But would love to hear some of that about the value of the silence in the Indian community.
Absolutely.
Because they really are so much better at that than I am. I read, I'm just drawing a total blank right now, but one of the Indian leaders, Black Elk.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, but all of that wisdom and connection with universal wisdom and all of those things came to them in the silence. You know, we need to return to that, and nature speaking also. Even okay, let's tie this together a minute. I'm gonna sit here and analyze us, but we need 2020's wisdom here. But we were in World War II, and the guy in the concentration camp, and I'm sorry that we can't think of his name, but he's watching a spider web. And what more is nature than that, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
So it does all fit together somehow.
I'd love to watch spiders build spider webs. Oh, my gosh. It is
a
profound experience.
Well, it's a meditation.
It is.
We had one. We watched at the beach one year. Even the children got into it, you know, because it was a huge spider building a web right outside of a window. So you could stand at the window and see, you know, watch everything she was doing. Betty was also reminding me, too, that we love to go to the Cherokee Reservation because we like to play the casino there. But when we're walking in the early mornings, very often we do what we call walking prayers, where we're doing our morning prayers on the way, and we are mentioning people's names. But the very ground itself feels holy. I felt that way in Key West, in Marathon, which is the Middle Keys, but where the ground itself felt holy. And Cherokee feels that way, like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is a reservation, but it's, you feel it almost through your feet, you know.
Well, the earth itself is.
Yes. Holy. Yes.
It is.
Yes. And you know that you are walking on holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a powerful thing early in the morning. And just speaking names of those that we love aloud in a prayerful way on our little walk. And it's, those are treasured times, Betty. Thanks for mentioning that.
Beautiful. The walking meditations, using your walk as a meditation.
Yeah, and not even calling it that, it just is.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not, now we're going to do it.
Absolutely.
At a minister that said, something like that to me one time. We were talking about Kathy's wedding, and he said, we were asking him about different things. Do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? And he said, now, wait a minute, we don't have to get into all this have-to stuff. It is what it is, and it is a celebration of their love, and that's as holy as it gets. And I just so appreciated his thought that way, that we didn't have to be regimented and, stiff.
And the shoulds of life. I should do this. I should do that. I certainly don't want to. I used to hang around with some very wise people, and they said, "Well, I probably can't say it on the air. You can just imagine." I guess I won't. The show's too young to be thrown off the talk radio show. But I think we do use. It would be better to say, I want to do this, because you really do want to do those things, instead of saying, I have to or I should.
Well, yeah, and follow through. And you and I talked about...
It reminds you of being guilty. Yeah, go ahead.
At one point, too, we were talking about our work on the Internet and just following whatever we were given as the next step. And I certainly did a whole lot better when I was doing that. Rather than making my little list of things to do and then trying to figure which one was the most important. It's just following my guidance and going with what felt right, what I felt drawn to.
I love that.
Work.
That works for me, too.
Yeah, and I need to get back to that. And this whole thing is an exercise in learning and growing in a spiritual way, without a doubt, and take two steps forward and one back and try again. But that was real important at the time, and that was when I did, and I don't know if you remember, but I got this bee in my bonnet about writing to Andy Dooley. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that came straight out of a meditation hour, and it's like, okay, what's this next step? I was working on a book, a little goals workbook, and write Andy Dooley and ask him if you can use some of his art on the cover. And he didn't know me from Adam's house cat. And so I came in here and looked up his email and wrote him a letter. And the next thing you know, he's right back saying, sure. Good grief. I celebrated for days over that. Still love looking at that picture.
He's a
nice man and a super artist. But, oh, goodness, I was, this is the craziest thing I've ever done. And, I had an answer within an hour, just cute, nice fellow.
Lovely.
Yeah. Nice guy. In fact, I ended up on the telephone with him one day. I don't know if you remember teaching him Squidoo on the telephone.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Funny. Fine. He made the one lens. He's never done anything else. I think he's real busy doing public speaking right now.
Yes. I will make a little announcement. I did my 50 lenses.
Yes.
Yes, as you know.
Yes, ready to apply for Giant.
Yeah, it does take once you get into the flow, it's really not hard if you don't have a perfectionistic attitude about it.
Right.
It is not hard at all.
That's one of the best lessons that I've learned from Squidoo. And it comes, you know, it's the good enough is good enough. And then you go back and fix it later, but you go with the good enough.
Absolutely.
And I love that. But deadline is what, 31st?
31st.
Of March for Giant?
For Giant, yeah.
Yeah, so you've still got another week.
Well,
KK's playing awesome.
The very first thing I ever learned, and I was one of my early mentors on online work, you know, the online internet marketing, was Jim Edwards. And that was the first thing I ever learned from him was don't go for perfection. Don't pour over everything and not get it out there.
Right.
You have to get it out there and, you know, edit it with spelling if you get somebody to read it and read it out loud, but don't belabor it. Get it out there and move on to the next thing and just keep getting it out there, you know, just so it's quality. And I never forgot that, and I really took it to heart because...
Well, and it works in life, too, you know.
Yes.
It parenting and house cleaning and all of the day-to-day stuff, doesn't any of it have to be perfect? Good enough is good enough. You know, it really is. And then you can work toward making it better. But good enough works. Move on.
Good enough is good enough, and maybe good enough is a beautiful place to be. Good enough is beautiful.
Right.
Now, we have 2 minutes remaining on this program.
Oh.
Believe that.
I can't believe that. It's a fast hour. KK is quoting Joe Vitale, but the universe likes speed, and yeah.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that line,
too. We take that to heart, too. Yeah, we take that to heart.
In fact, I can hear him doing that because I've got him on a recording doing that, and when I see the sentence, I hear him saying it. The universe likes speed. Wonderful. We appreciate y'all being with us tonight for real. Thank you so much. Technical issues.
My chat room just collapsed. I want to give credit to the music that we were using on the show.
Klaus
Benson, whom we have met on the Milagro World, Pat O'Brien's forum, and his musical partner is Henrik Burke Abo. I love that name. And I will play this music in a second or maybe in 90 seconds, this voice just said. 90 seconds.
Say his name again, Kate, because I interrupted you.
Klaus?
Yes.
Klaus Jensen and his musical partner, Henrik Burke Abo. Beautiful, beautiful music. And we are fortunate that these two people gave us permission to use their music. And, of course... I want to say that the place for you all to buy the music is www.musicformotherandchild.com. www.musicformotherandchild.com. I want to thank everybody for joining Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. Joan, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Kate. It's been great.
It's really fun. I'm having
it
a great time.
It is fun.
We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know we would be having this much fun, although we had a suspicion or else we wouldn't do it, right?
That's right. It's good. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
I love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Love everybody. Bye-bye.